Deuteronomy, let me turn these on, let me see, on. The word Deuteronomy, Deo, means two. Nomi means law, second time the law. Question, where do you find for the first time in the Bible the Ten Commandments? In Exodus, in chapter 20. And so here in chapter 12 you have again the law. And so when the Catholic Church named the books, they thought, if the law repeats, the Catholic Church names the books in Greek with the Latin words. And so here it is, Deo, two, nomo, second time, the law. And my approach this evening, again, is to look in the scripture and have a true comparison so that we see a typology of Christ in the Old Testament. And how do you understand from the New Testament what that typology is? And that we've been doing these two or three times. Now, in my introduction, I want to deal with you on the serious progression on these, all right? And one by one, we're going to write what we study. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, Jesus is portrayed as, remember that? The seed of the woman, the son of a woman, the seed of the woman, all right? And how truly Satan worked so hard at the birth of Christ that they had to flee and go into Egypt, remember, for 3 years, and then came back because Satan did not want that to happen. Now, the second, you see, is Exodus in chapter 12. And do you remember what Jesus in Exodus is? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. And we this morning talk about it, and we did not touch Exodus, but we saw that they have the Passover feast when Jesus introduced the Lord's Supper. The third book that we'll look on it was the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus chapter 1 to 17, Jesus has two pictures in the book of Leviticus. Jesus is the sacrifice, and what else was introduced very heavy in the book of Leviticus? The high priest, the priesthood. And so Jesus is the one who intercedes, and Jesus is the one who presents the sacrifice. In my last study before vacation, we saw in the book of Numbers 21:9 a picture. Jesus is what? Something was raised up. What it was? The raisin serpent. Very good. I can see you cut your hair and you're as smart as can be. All right. The raisin serpent. See, and remember, where in the New Testament, if somebody said to you, all right, you use Exodus 21:9, how do you know is the serpent represent Jesus? Where in the New Testament? What book of the New Testament you find that? Remember, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, all the way to verse 19. Now, tonight, we want to, again, and I want to make this emphasis again, the topic for discussion is only this, the book of Deuteronomy and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that I want to really emphasize in the evening service, how this book of the Old Testament relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to start by the general information, all right? So let's work in our Bible. The general information, the first information we find is in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. And we have two verses that imply the Old Testament is a real picture of, present pictures of the Lord Jesus. In Luke 24, and in verse 27, you remember the story of Luke 24? What was the story in Luke 24? There were two guys, what? They were coming down from Jerusalem to what's the city they were coming down? It started with E, Emmaus. And these two guys, they were followers of Jesus, and now they were very happy that Jesus died? No, they were sorrowful. They said, oh boy, our hopes are going down. Who met them on the way? Jesus. And now, in order to open his eyes. You know, Jesus physically can say, see, and they will see. But Jesus chose the word to open their eyes. That's interesting because that was before he's dead. Jesus is anticipating what he has done with you and me. He opened our eyes with the word of God. Look at it in verse 27. Look at what Jesus said. Luke 24. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, where he began? Moses. What's Moses? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Beginning over there. Wow, that means that's quite a lecture. Beginning on the scrolls with Moses, he went all the way to the prophets. And look at verse 44. He's more clear in verse 44. He said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And so Jesus approved the idea that certain things in the Old Testament brings a remarkable picture about the Messiah. And the events of the Old Testament are there historically true to give the Jewish people a real root so that when the Messiah will come in, they will identify him. But when the Messiah came in, the Jewish people what? Rejected. They missed the Messiah. Remember John 1:11? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All right? Amazing, no? Amazing. Unless God in his mercy open your eyes, you can be the best scholar in the world in any language you want to, but God in mercy can click some buttons in our mind and heart and soul and let to see. Now I want to see you another scripture. It's not only one scripture, but in John. Let's go to John. This is general information, chapter 5 and verse 39. Now, in this scripture, on the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to Pharisees. And in verse 39, he says, search the scriptures. Now, notice the scriptures is singular or plural? Plural. That means all the scroll, all right? 39. For in them you think ye have eternal life. So the Jewish people knew that believing in God will give them eternal life and come from the scripture. All right? And look at what the verse 39 said. And they are they which testify of me. When the Bible said, and they are they, what the Bible is talking about? The scripture. Good. Well, Greg, you study. Good. It's an advantage to take the floppy ahead of time. All right. The scripture. All right? The scripture. It's talking about the scripture. The scripture are the one who testify about him. Now, in Luke, he did not use the word testify, remember? He used, for they are the one who, let's go to Luke again. Put one hand here and see what words that Jesus used in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. He said, and he expounded unto them in all the scripture the thing concerning himself. Now let's go to verse 44. And he said, and the prophet, concerning me. So he said, the scriptures are concerning me. In John 5, we have another word introduced by God. The scriptures testify about the Lord Jesus. Now, will you explain to me what testify means? We just have to, a legal situation that I feel like a $1 million pastor. I know it was a long day for me. I was talking to somebody in the church. He said, well, you went to home, Pastor? No, today was a day just touch and go. We have pizza with Wayne and then come and do the whole day in church. And I feel as strong as can be because we just touched the heart of a lady who needs help. And I need legal help, and Brother Dulilo provided, and I tell you, it was fantastic. But we need some testimony to be certified. What means here, the scripture, are they that testify of me? What that means, testify of me? Witness. In other words, it's not only, now we have witness. Remember Jesus said, "You, how many witnesses do we need according to the scripture? Two witnesses." All right? In another part of the Bible said that we have three witnesses about Jesus. Remember? And so here in John, we have that. Then another scripture I want to show you, which is really remarkable, is in Hebrews 10. And then verse 7, and I hope you don't get tired of me repeating this over and over, so that you know with confidence that what we do in the evening of taking the Word of God and bringing the Word of God into a clear understanding of what happened in the Old Testament and compared to the New Testament, and understanding what happened in the Old Testament through the eyes of the New Testament will give us a good understanding of the Scripture. 10:7. Then said I, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will." Now, in the Gospel of Luke, he said, "The Scriptures are concerning me." In John, what they said? "The Scripture testify about me." And in Hebrew, what did he say about it? The Scriptures, he said, are written here. He said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will." So we have a written information about the will of God. Now let's test it, all of this through the book of Deuteronomy. And so we go into the specific information that we want to do. First of all, I'd like to identify right away where I want to put my finger. They said this scripture is Jesus. Let's go to the first one. In Deuteronomy, Christ's identification is implied in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, many of you maybe recall that Moses was a prophet. And the Bible had Moses not only... what other title for Moses? Very few people know that Moses was a prophet. When people relate to Moses, what kind of title is more clever to identify Moses? A servant? That's true. "Moses, my servant, is dead," said Joshua 1:1. What other title that everybody knows him? Oh, pardon me? The prophet? Not too many people. A messenger, but a big title. No, a legal title. He was a lawgiver. A lawgiver. Yeah, that's another thing we can draw from him. He's a lawgiver. Moses was the one who gave the law. And that's in John chapter 1. He said, "The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus." Now, I want to show you something very interesting in this chapter 18 and in verse 15, where he is identified as a prophet. Look at what the Bible says. He said, "The Lord thy God," and now the speaker is Moses, and he's talking to Israel, and he says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." Do you notice the word prophet with capital in the King James Version? At least in this, it's magnificent, because he's not talking now about himself, he's talking about somebody else, and that's very proper in the Hebrew. "Up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Now, few information that text gave us. Number one, that Israel should be looking forward for a prophet. And that prophet do not come from the Gentiles, come like me, he said. You know, the text is very clear. He said, from the midst of thee, so he doesn't reveal what tribe yet. He said, from the midst of thee, a prophet is coming. "Of thy brethren," had to be one of the Israelites, from the tribes of the Israelites. And look, the words, the key words here are the final words. What did Moses suggest to do Israel with that prophet? He said, "Ye shall hearken unto him." And the Hebrew is written different. And the King James said, "Unto him ye shall hearken." But in the Hebrew said, "Ye shall hearken." You shall hear him, said the Hebrew. So now, this is the key word. You shall hear him. Now, let's look to the materialization to now bring, remember the conditions, a prophet needs to be raised
from the tribe of Israel, and the conditions are the God the Father has to reveal to Israel, you need to hear him. All these conditions need to be fulfilled in order to say Jesus fit in this place. So let's go first. The Christ materialization implied in Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to suggest that we read from verses 1 to 3. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent unto him of his disciples. Now, you know what John is talking about? What John? John the Baptist. No, John the Evangelist, who wrote the gospel and who wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and Revelation. Not that John, but John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was related to Jesus. He was his cousin. And John the Baptist was the one who said these famous words in John 1:29. What did he say about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away sin of the world. Now, what we read here is very impressive in verse 2. Now, here's a man, John, who is the cousin of the Lord Jesus, who laughed when Elizabeth met Mary. Here's a man who, without hesitation, he said, here is the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. And John chapter 1 by verse 33 said, he must increase, I must decrease, the famous words of John. And now he's doubting. He's in jail. See, every Jew was oppressed by what government? The Roman government. And what the Jew were looking forward in the Messiah? They were looking forward a political liberator. That's it. They thought that getting a Messiah was about politics. We get a Messiah and our nation be number one. That's what they thought about it. Because look at verse 2 again. You know, amazing. This is the man who pointed to Jesus. This is the man who had the privilege to say, here is the Lamb of God. This is the man that Jesus said, there is no other man born of a woman like John the Baptist. And he made that gross mistake in verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison that the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said, look at verse 3, said unto him, art thou he that should come? See the prophet, remember? They knew a prophet. Are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist said, why I am in jail? If he is the Messiah, if he is a liberator, why am I in jail? Now, ask Jesus, are you the right guy, or we look for another? See, the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one that Moses said, there will come, you will listen to that prophet that will come after me. Let's go to John's Matthew 17. Now, in Matthew 17, what do we have there? At the very beginning of Matthew 17, we have what is called the Transfiguration. What that means, the Transfiguration? Jesus was transfigured like the body that he will have in heaven. And he brought heaven down to earth to these two guys. Who was the guys? Was Peter, John, and James. All right? And they were so happy that he said, forget about the rest. Let's have some sleeping bag and stay here. Look at how good was heaven. Anthony, if you were there, you would say the same thing. Now, let's look at in Matthew 17. And after Jesus talks with them, verse 5 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did God say? Hear him. What was the condition in Deuteronomy 18:15? What did Moses say? He said, hear him. He said, another prophet will come from the brethren, in thy mess. Now you need to hear him. Now God is looking unto Jesus, and he said, you need to hear him. Now, there's another passage. There is no here on the screen that said the same thing. It's in Matthew 3, and I think it's verse 17. Matthew 3, and it's verse 17. Look at, these are the baptism of Jesus. And look at what happened. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. No, over there, I thought it would say, hear him, but that doesn't say. They only point to Jesus as the one who is the Son of God. Now, the materialization is implied. We need to hear him. Now, the next step I want to bring your attention is Christ. Application is revealed in the book of Acts. Let's look to Acts 3, verse 22. And really, I would like to go to verse 26, because that all the way to 26 will give you a great picture of this. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. This is the application that what Moses was talking about with Jesus is revealed here. Acts 3, verse 22. For Moses, now this is Dr. Luke explaining, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now that's a reference, direct reference to Deuteronomy 18:15. Now I'm reading verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yeah, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So not only Moses, but everybody else. Verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all thy kindred of the earth be blessed. And to you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquities, from your sins. Now you study the book of Romans in Sunday school, and you study in Romans 1:16. Remember Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the dunamos, the power of God unto salvation. What's the next word? No. First, to the Jew. Now let's look at here. Let's look at here. Verse 26. Unto you first, God. See, God in his mercy for his people. He raised Moses. He indwelled Moses. And he told Moses to tell the people that he is not the guy. That the person they should look for is one of the people, and they need to hear him. And now, by God's appointee, now here is the testimony of the scripture that Moses of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus. Now, there is a better explanation than this, and it's in Acts 7, and it's what I call Christ identification explain. Is that point number D? It is in Acts 7 and in verse 37. Acts 7 and verse 37. Now, who is speaking in Acts 7 almost for the entire chapter? A deacon of the church. What was his name? Stephen. He was a great, brilliant deacon of the church. He was not a preacher. There was another deacon that was a preacher, was Philip, Stephen was a professor. Like Anthony wanted to be. All right. Now, here in verse 37, Stephen is explaining to the Sanhedrin, he's explaining who Jesus is. Look at what he says. This is that Moses. You see how clearly? This is that Moses, which is said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. him shall ye hear. So when he talks about Jesus, as Stephen said, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we are discussing, this Messiah that we're talking about, this Jesus that you mentioned, this Christ that you are so upset about, it, this is the one that Moses talked about. Wow. He tied the two together. See? Again, not for a political liberation, but for a spiritual liberation. You know, you can read a verse in the Bible, but if you're looking in the Bible, if your interest in the Bible is not spiritual, you will miss the entire Bible. So now the Bible is teaching us in Deuteronomy that the prophet of Israel, in Deuteronomy, the prophet is Moses. Moses said, No, it's not me. Is the Lord, is one who is coming. The New Testament now help us to understand that the one that is coming is Jesus Christ himself. And we saw that in Acts chapter 3, and we saw that in Acts chapter 7. Now, so here's the conclusion. What is the significance of this fact? That Jesus is the prophet of Israel. Now, here in this conclusion, Hebrews 1 and verses 1 to 3 will reveal the entire answer. What's the significance? What's in a nutshell how important it is? Look at how important it is for us today. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who was sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who? Being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, how these verses relate to Moses and Moses to Jesus? Well, I'll tell you how. Some people think that there are more apostles, and some people think that there are prophets today. What's the last prophet? Look at here in Hebrew. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? By his Son. When somebody comes to you and said, I'm a prophet, that's a lie. Unless if you call prophecy to read the scripture, that's prophecy. I can read the scripture. If a child disobey the parents, I can read the scripture and say they make the parents very miserable. That's what the scripture said. All right? And that's a prophecy, but I read the scripture. There is no someone who can to me and said, well, the Lord revealed to me this, I'm a prophet. No, the prophet that God revealed everything was Moses and Jesus together. He's the end. This is what they said here. And this last day has been spoken unto us by his Son. And the last days start at Pentecost until the coming of the Lord. That's the last days. And in that last days, we have one prophet, no Moses, Jesus. Now, John, help us to understand it. John chapter 1 and verse 18. Look at how clear it is there. John chapter 1 and verse 17, excuse me, no 18. John 1, 17. John 1, 17. It's not there, but it's just to help you. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No more Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. When Moses talked to God, God said to Moses in Mount Sinai, I am merciful and gracious. But Moses cannot be merciful and gracious. Moses was the law. And then the law is the law. Yes, no. But then Jesus was merciful and gracious. He did not give us what we deserve. He gave us what we do not deserve. And so now we see that Jesus is the prophet who speaks today. And the great question is this, who are you going to listen to today? Jesus, who spoke here in the Bible, or somebody else? If you want to listen to Jesus, remember Hebrews 10, 7? And the value of the book is what? It says, spoken of me. If you want to listen to Jesus, don't waste your time and listening to any other prophet. Jesus is the prophet. And if you listen to a preacher who preaches other things than Jesus, he's wasting his time. Because Jesus is the prophet. And the only person that you need to listen is the Lord Jesus Christ. How simple it is when you put the two and two together. Unmistakable. Clear as can be. Reveal that our function is to understand what Jesus said to me. Why? Because as the people in the Old Testament listened to Moses, that's an example how we need to listen to Jesus. Do you remember the time in Numbers when the people of Israel do not want to obey Moses? And God sent a plague upon Israel, and Moses pray to the Lord. And the Lord said, Moses, I'm fed up with these people. I will eliminate them. I will make another race out of your loins. You remember that is an occasion that Moses was a clear picture of grace. He went in prayer in Numbers 21 and he said to the Lord, pardon and mercy I seek for thy people. Because what the other nations will think if you eliminate them, oh God. Take me, he said. They keep thy people. That's what Jesus did, you know? Take me and keep thy people. See how beautiful the Bible fit together? It's just a gorgeous book. Don't miss Jesus. In this church, we have many keys to open doors. But there is one key, they open all the doors. What's they call that key? A master key. Jesus is the master key of the scripture. He's the master key of your life. You lose Jesus, you cannot open a door in your life. Thank you, Father, for the great and wonderful picture that Jesus is to us. Today is the one that we need to hear. So help us to read and read and read of the Gospels, the words of Jesus, so that we can hear him and we can see what he wants from us. Oh God, help us to challenge our life and promote us to read Matthew 5, 6, 7, which Jesus teaches the Sermon on the Mountain. Help us to read Matthew 17 when he talks about life everlasting. Help us to read Matthew 24 when he talks about, oh God, the judging of the nation. Help us to listen to him so that we can be enriched with Jesus, a great prophet. In his name we pray and thank you for protection during this week. And Father, we plead for Mrs. Dolores Alvarez and for Ron Nichols, who is at the edge of transforming himself into a glorious and wonderful man in the presence of God. And Father, we pray for his brother Mark because he needs a lot of help. And I don't know if he knows you or not. He knows about you, but I don't know if he knows you. So I pray, Father, that you give strength to Dolores and that you will help us to help them so that we can share our life with her, with his sister in the Lord. Thank you, Father, that one day Ron found Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that this church witnessed the baptism of this beautiful man. Bless us now as we go home. Give us wisdom for the week. May Jesus Christ be glorified in our life as we listen to him. In his name we pray. Amen.